At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I am Vivian McPeak, and this is Hemp Present. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. Joey Beckerman is an internationally renowned hemp industry's pioneer and legal expert who's been involved with the hemp and cannabis movements for over 30 years. Among a world-class list of roles she fills, Joy is the principal at Hemp Ace International, a consulting and expert witness firm serving the global community. And Joy is president of the Center for the Study of Cannabis and Social Policy. You can learn more about Joy's unique history and many leadership positions at hempace.com, or you could just keep listening because Joy is in the house. Welcome back, Joy, to Cannabis Radio.
So great to be here, Vivian. Love Cannabis Radio, and I love you, my brother. It's wonderful to be on Hemp Present.
Oh, man, the love is mutual, you know, and of course, I want to mention that you and Irie originally met at the High Times Cannabis Cup in 1995 in Amsterdam, and the rest, as we say, is hempstory. What an amazing journey it's been since then, huh?
So much so, brother. God, the body of work that we have left in our wake, particularly you with Seattle Hemp Fest and the thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people that you've touched, Vivian, it blows my mind.
Well, you know, we both stand on the shoulders of giants, man.
So true.
And in that vein, let's just kind of start off, let's kick it off by you giving us your thoughts on this, just the current status of industrial hemp in the United States. Where are we at?
I am so happy to tell you that, of course, with the 2018 Farm Bill that legalized hemp as an agricultural commodity so that it could take its place and reclaim that place in the broad light of day among America's other agricultural crops without the shackles of the Controlled Substances Act, we are moving forward out of this, unfortunately, bubble of an untrustworthy boom of hemp extract. Many folks grew originally acres and acres, at one point 220,000 acres across the U.S. of hemp for hemp extract, specifically at the time for CBD, cannabidiol. And we learned the hard way, our farmers learned the hard way, that it takes a little bit of hemp to make a whole lot of CBD distillate. So there was a giant overproduction. And that market is starting to stabilize a little bit in terms of folks are realizing they cannot make a good living trusting that market. And so we're starting to see farmers grow for grain and fiber. But we've been asking farmers to grow grain and fiber varieties of hemp, even though there has been very little infrastructure to grow that crop. And we've been asking investors to invest in that infrastructure, even though there has been very little crop to feed those machines. So one foot in front of the other, working in tandem, we're starting to see that move forward, and we have more fiber infrastructure and processing facilities popping up in the United States. We have 4 currently, as well as grain processing facilities. But that's what we're looking at, brother, is needing that infrastructure to process what is ultimately the longest, strongest stock in the world, and we need those processing facilities within 50 to 100 miles of every biomass feedstock. And currently, we're at 4. So it looks like last year, according to the USDA's recent report, we were somewhere around a total of 54,000 acres of hemp that were planted openly under the licensing scheme across the 50 states in 2021.
Wow. So it's a nascent yet developing industry, right? With nothing but room to grow.
Exactly. We'll all just going whaling for the rest of our lives. The opportunities are endless. And which brings me to what's very unique and wonderful about industrial hemp is that this is where we're going to learn coopetition and cooperation, because there is so much opportunity at every step of the supply chain and so much infrastructure to be built that we're only going to be able to deliver on the promise of hemp if we worked together. So this is really just a great opportunity to see cannabis work as the great synthesizer that it is in these commercial developments as this infrastructure grows.
Coopetition is the mission.
Yes, sir.
Is there a 2003 farm bill coming?
Yes, every 5 years, ultimately, there is a farm bill, right? Now, we had the 2014 farm bill. It was supposed to take place in 2013. And in fact, most of that in wheeling and dealing and negotiating did go on in 2013. It's just that it wasn't actually passed and signed into law. So we call that the 2014 farm bill. But yes, the last one was the 2018 farm bill. So 2023, another one is coming up. Now, farm bills like appropriations or omnibus bills are what we call must-pass bills, meaning that they are so vital to the function of government and to the needs of the country that they must pass. And that's why we see appropriations bills and oftentimes farm bills that include provisions and amendments that actually don't have much to do with the subject of the bill itself, because that's the currency by which Washington, D.C. and that sausage-making process wheels and deals with each other, because they know a must-pass bill must pass. So they sort of use that as currency. And so, yes, 2023, it's coming up, and there is much to do to fix some of the deficiencies and injustices from the 2018 Farm Bill.
Joy, particulate microplastics are littering the oceans. They have recently been detected in the blood of humans and in the lung tissue of human beings. We desperately need alternatives to petrochemical plastics. How far do you think we are from having marketable biodegradable hemp plastics? How viable is that?
I am so happy to report to you that we have compostable, biodegradable hemp plastic products on the market available as it sits today. Like all things, and particularly when it comes to cannabis in any of its forms, whether it's hemp, adult use, or medical, we must keep our critical thinking hat on, however, and really understand that there are products being marketed as being compostable or biodegradable and compostable and biodegradable under the name of hemp that actually are not. So we have false advertisers out there. There is an incredible company, Green Tech Planet, also known as Green Tech Packaging, a great, just brilliant entrepreneur, Jordan Hinshaw, an environmentalist who has founded that company based in California. And they, and I believe even at Seattle Hemp Fest last year, I interviewed Jordan Hinshaw because he's such a hero in this space, who is actually creating hemp biodegradable, compostable utensils called hemp tensils and straws as well, biodegradable, compostable hemp plastic straws. And there's certainly more on the way. Bear in mind that there was another company out there that got to the market first that markets their straws as fully biodegradable and compostable, and they actually are not. We have done testing on them.
Wow, that's impressive.
But so much more is coming. So much is coming.
Is there enough hemp material to supply a plastics industry?
When we say plastics industry, we are talking about something that's absolutely major. So whatever industry we're discussing, the answer currently in the United States is
hell no, absolutely not.
And even if there were, that would be terrible for the farmers, because most of it would rot in the field because there is not infrastructure sufficient to process that biomass.
Facilities.
Yep. But it is coming, my brother. It is coming. And there is tremendous demand, believe me, in the biomass and biomass energy sectors, which are huge. And that comes down to methane as well as pellets, because hemp herd pellets burn actually.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs,
plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Much cleaner than wood and have the same BTUs. So they have the same capacity for energy, but they burn more cleanly. And obviously, it is a naturally fast-growing renewable resource, 70 to 180 days versus obviously a tree, which would take at a minimum 20 years to grow to be viable for paper, much less wood pellets. So that demand is huge. And these sectors are going, where are we going to get the hemp? Where are we going to get the hemp? And so there is just a lot of connecting of dots right now. I'm very proud to serve as an advisory board member to the National Hemp Growers Cooperative, which is founded by the former state of Mississippi USDA Rural Development Services director, who has just tremendous experience with this and has been tromping across the planet for a year connecting these dots. So going to these conferences, getting involved with big industry, and getting letters of intent so that they can get members to the co-op to grow the plants, match that with letters of intent and actual contracts with the manufacturer. All of that needs to take place before we can really feel good about telling our farmers, really the most innocent and trustworthy members of the supply chain here are the folks who actually grow it, and we do not want them to have unsuccessful experiences like they did in hemp extract in 2019 and 2020.
Yeah, I mean, the legacy farmers, as we know, are just being wiped out. What are the dynamics between industrial hemp and euphoric or intoxicating cannabis? Are intoxicating cannabinoids that are synthetically converted from hemp derivatives impacting efforts to fully realize a vibrant legal industrial hemp industry?
You know, it's an interesting thing. We didn't really see this coming because, of course, when we lobbied for all these 30 years and then finally got the feds to go ahead and pass this legislation to remove hemp from the Controlled Substances Act and expand the definition to include in the definition of hemp its cannabinoids, extracts, derivatives, compounds, isomers, salts of isomers, the whole bit. All of that has been removed from the Controlled Substances Act. That was with the legislative intent and understanding that those cannabinoids would be non-intoxicating. But you give science and the free market a little bit of time and people are going to figure out how to get you high legally. And as it turns out, that gigantic glut that we had, that huge overproduction of CBD or hemp extract varieties of hemp that we've been discussing here, those go bad eventually, right? There's all shelf life to a botanical extract. And we still have just unbelievable tonnage of 2019 hemp sitting around in warehouses, much and even more of the processed crude hemp extract in 55-gallon drums all across the United States. So folks started to say, hey, let's see what we can do with this. We can synthetically convert CBD to Delta-9 THC, to Delta-8 THC. So what they did when it comes to Delta 8, which is not Delta 9, but is very similar to a Delta 8 tetrahydrocannabinol, which of course is the intoxicating cannabinoid, the primary intoxicating cannabinoid in cannabis, they figured out a way to synthetically convert it. Now, as it turns out, there are several ways to synthetically convert it, by and large, being done, I would say, bathtub gin style with residual solvents and caustic reactions. There are very few companies doing this in a way that is quality assured and with no further contaminants or residuals in that finished product. So having said all that, the responsible hemp industry wants nothing to do with intoxicating products under the guise or name of hemp being put into the stream of commerce without any safety or age restrictions. These products are being marketed to children. They are available to children. They often have massive label violations. They don't even contain what they're supposed to. So it is becoming a problem, and multiple states are figuring out ways to, frankly, try to regulate it out or get control of it in their state, as we are doing at the federal level and is being addressed for the 2023 Farm Bill.
I'm talking to Joy Beckerman, the Hemp Ace. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our second segment with the Human Encyclopedia.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
We're back with Joy Beckerman. Joy, can you touch on the THC content restrictions for hemp, for industrial hemp? I know it's very complicated, and I think it changes from state to state. How are they holding back the industry? What are the dynamics there?
So we've got THC testing for plants growing in the field, and that is at the federal level that has been set in federal law. And in that same federal law, the 2018 Farm Bill, it said, hey, states, you can have a more restrictive definition of how much Delta 9 THC, but you cannot have a less restrictive definition. So at the federal level for plants growing in the field, it is a maximum of 0.3% Delta 9 THC, which is quantified by calculating the cannabolic acid form of THC, which is tetrahydrocannabolic acid, the precursor to Delta 9, and the Delta 9 THC. And we use a mathematical configuration for that that I won't get into. Now, additionally, there are finished products. Bear in mind that the 2018 Farm Bill, that is an agricultural bill. And the definition of hemp was placed in the Agricultural Marketing Act of 1942. So, I'm sorry, of 1946. So we really defined a plant in that bill. And what we've been doing is applying that definition to finished products. But the reality is that our definition is for a plant. So for finished products, it's the same. Having said that, the states have all created a bunch of different types of definitions, particularly in the last session, due to the fact of this rise in the market of these intoxicating hemp-derived consumable products. And so they have started to adjust various states their definition. And believe me, it's a patchwork. So I'm just going to give you a couple of examples. But some states have started to include Delta 8 and Delta 9 in their definition. Some have included Delta 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, and their optical and stereo isomers of each such substance, and tetrahydrocannabolic acid, and even tetrahydrocannabinoid, so a varin form, THCV. So we're getting, due to the lack of command of the science by these different states, combined oftentimes with hysteria around the potential for intoxication in these states, it can be a deadly combination, and we get some really misguided law out there. But that's what we're talking about, just varying definitions across the 50 states for finished products, and some even for the field. Now, for the 2023 Farm Bill, there's currently a federal bill in play right now, the Hemp Advancement Act, that we've worked very hard on, and we expect for it to be rolled into the 2023 Farm Bill. Obviously, standalone bills don't usually go very well or very far at the federal level, and that too would be redefining. It actually creates a definition for something called total tetrahydrocannabinol concentration, and so at the federal level, we would actually redefine total THC, or define that as including Delta 8 and Delta 9 and the optical isomers of each such substance.
What impact has the CBD craze had on those working to produce hemp for other uses like building materials, food, etc.?
So I think, and by the way, I misspoke a second ago, just want to make sure that proposed definition actually includes D8, D9, and D10 and the optical isomers of such substances, how we're proposing to redefine it at the federal level. Now, to answer your next question, which is an excellent one. You know, in the big scheme of things, looking back, we're going to say, oh, there was a little blip there where people were really focused on these magic beans that were going to make them $100,000 an acre, which of course is ridiculous. Right now, because we're at this nascent stage, it seems like it was a horrible thing that happened over the course of 2 years. The reality is, when we focused on CBD, development and hemp extract, we are not focused on the trillion-dollar industries, the industries that are going to provide both environmental and economic stability, particularly economic stabilities for our farmers, environmental stability for all living beings and the planet. And that, of course, are the oil, seed, and fiber industry. So indeed, in going for that golden ticket, as it were, in addition to the fact, and this is just a very practical matter, again, no infrastructure to process the oil, seed, and fiber varieties, whereas we had this prolific infrastructure for botanical extraction, focused on that, many lost their shirts. And so I would say that we're going to have basically a little temporary heartache. And we see it at state levels, sometimes lawmakers and regulators, and sometimes farmers and entrepreneurs that say, oh, that's a nightmare. Everyone said we were going to make $1 million in hemp, and look what happened. We're not going to grow any of that. That, as the infrastructure grows, and certainly educated farmers and folks who are well aware of the global scheme of industrial hemp, what it really means and what its potential is, aren't bothering with that sort of defeatist attitude or pessimistic attitude, because they understand that build it and they will come. We need to build the infrastructure, grow the crops, and we are going to deliver on the promise. But yes, a bit of a hiccup as everyone focused on ridiculous pie in the sky ideas of their gains that they thought they were going to make financially from planting hemp extract varieties.
George, speaking of the global scheme of hemp, hemp has been grown and exported in other countries for a long, long time, and America has really gotten in late in the game. In your expert opinion, how far is America from being able to compete in the global marketplace in terms of industrial hemp production and export?
You know, it's fascinating that folks want American stuff so badly that we're already starting to export certain things. It's just incredible how popular we are in the United States. Having said that, to put things in perspective, to this day and since prior to it, and by prior, I mean hundreds of years ago. So there has never been a time in U.S. history that we have ever met our own needs and demands for hemp, and neither has England. We have always imported. Even when we grew the stuff with no problems at all, we always imported. And then we have remained and are to this day still the largest importer of raw hemp materials and manufactured hemp goods in the world. So wow. That is going to start to change. But that significantly, it's an important thing to understand about America, but that will start to change.
That's amazing. Does the hemp industry have any friends in the Congress and Senate? Do we have any outspoken advocates making efforts to assist the industry by crafting legislation to remove all these legal and regulatory obstacles that currently exist, these kind of you know, ridiculous obstacles?
Absolutely. I mean, very, very powerful ones. Now, things change. We won't get political on this show. And so I will hold my. Oh,
you can get political if you want, man.
Oh, thank you. Well, praise God. Although even that is political. I mean, thank the universe, is what I'll say.
Praise Jah.
Praise Jah. You know, we went blue and Democratic.
Yeah, man.
However, it was certainly prior Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and current Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, right, who is a massive proponent for hemp, as well as for his state of Kentucky, but for the nation. I mean, he spearheaded that farm bill. He normally would never be a part of conference hearings for a bill and so on and so forth. And yet he took his time to do those things because he really wanted to see hemp through. But I'm not going to sit here and praise McConnell. What I will say is that it certainly helped to have someone who clearly has that much power, including the power to stop everything with cannabis. But we had a friend in him with hemp. So that was very powerful. But We have, of course, Senators Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley, Democrats from Oregon, who work in hand in hand with Senator McConnell for several years. Since 2013, they've been working bipartisan across the aisle and across the country to bring these bills to fruition. Additionally, though, we have several representatives, Representative Shelley Pingree from my home state of Maine. She's the one who was put forth, and we worked very hard with her, the Hemp Advancement Act that we hope to roll into the 2023 Farm Bill. And we have three separate bills right now. And by the way, Senator Schumer, the Senate majority, the current Senator Majority Leader, is a very big friend to hemp. He's even more so a friend to adult use and medical cannabis, as you know, but we can get him to sign whatever we need him to sign. And he has absolutely supported all of this hemp legislation.
We'll have to leave it at that. We're going to take another break and come back for our final questions with the amazing Joy Beckerman. Don't go anywhere.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
And we're back one more time with Joy Beckerman. Joy, you are just so amazing. You know, you are, I just say that the cannabis industry culture movement is so lucky to have people like you. What are your final thoughts that you'd like to leave us with? How can people follow your good works? And I understand you got your own podcast.
I do. And let me just say, I will be your reflection any day of the week, Vivian McPeak. you know, my final thoughts are always engage in the process. Like you, brother, this is all about a massive call to action. Also, it's no good or use to be alive if we don't have a purpose. So anyone who is looking for a purpose-driven life or a place to belong, we will take you in the hemp movement and in all forms of cannabis movement, but we want to engage in the process. We in this country, despite everything that you see on TV, we are in charge. The people actually lead, and there are so many ways for us to actually influence the decisions that are being made that affect our lives, laws and regulations. So I want people to engage in the process. And how can they do that? They can listen to Hemp Present. I have a podcast, Hemp Barons. I want folks to know, and this is actually the first time I'm publicly announcing it, that my podcast, Hemp Barons, which I've been doing for a little over 2 years, we're going to be rebranding it to Joy of Hemp. So
nice.
Indeed. And you can certainly go to joyofhemp.com. Currently, it's going to lead you right to hempace.com, which is my expert witness legal support and consulting firm. But I'm moving over to Joy of Hemp because I want to really inspire and educate people in a way that is fun and in a way that really engages them to be involved in the process and to become activists and advocates and find their voice and find their purpose and find a way to belong. And I don't want to do it anymore by lecturing about law and policy. I want the joy of hemp to be in everybody's hearts and minds and empower them to find their voice and their purpose.
Wow. I can't wait to check out the new brand, man. Everything you do is so impressive, Joy. I have so much love and appreciation and admiration for you. And it's just great to have you back on the show, man. You're always an endless cornucopia of knowledge and stuff.
Whenever I can be here, brother, you know, it's my great pleasure and my great honor to support all of the work that you do, the tremendous reach that you have. And I cannot thank you enough, Vivian, for these opportunities, for your ongoing inspiration after all of these and across all of these decades. Thank you, Vivian.
Oh, well, right back at you, my sister, right back at you. And that concludes this installment of Hemp Present on Cannabis Radio. When it comes to prohibition, you've got the right not to remain silent. The Hemp Present intro music is from 7 Mile Beach by Joanne Rand. And the outro music is from Take Back the Plant by Stickerbush. See you next week, folks. Stay strong.
Marijuana!
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.